Only tonight and tomorrow. Come on and tell us what the Holy Ghost has put on your heart tonight. We love you. So glad to have you in the house tonight.
Good job, y'all. Is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. You know what? I like everything I'm feeling. But I wonder what would happen if everybody got involved. Now, I know everybody can't do cartwheels and flips and jump up and down. But we can scream. I want every voice lifted. Give him the fruit of your lips right now and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, somebody shout unto God and give him praise for everything he's already done in this house tonight and what he's going to do. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. I am thrilled and honored, excited to be here today, tomorrow, at this youth conference, and then on Sunday here. It's good to be with Pastor Sutton. I love him dearly, and I won't take time to go into everything that he means to me, but at a very important time in my life, he was a voice again and again and again, and I find myself preaching some of the things that he taught us in classrooms and youth services and driving down the road. I love him dearly. Give honor to his family, his wife, and beautiful family they are. And then to all of those men of God that mean so much, Brother Will Banks, I love him. Joined at the hip in ways that we don't even understand. Amen. And good to have my little brother here. Some of y'all didn't know I have an Alabama brother. And Zach Wells is like a brother to me. And I love him. He was instrumental at a time in our church that I needed him. How many have been in a place where you needed a man of God? We had been through some tumultuous times and deep struggles, and God brought Brother Zach Wells as an evangelist for about 5 months. And I had a man in the church look at me one day and say, you know, you'd have to understand what we'd been through. And he said, God used Brother Wells to make us smile again. And so I owe him a debt and love him dearly. And all these men of God, good to see them. Is it all right if I just do what I feel in the Holy Ghost? Amen. If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of James. Like Alabama. Enjoying being here. I didn't know it until the last year or so that my mother's family is from Alabama. And so I got roots in Alabama. I got kin folks here in this state. And so it's good to reconnect with whatever that is. And I've got a lot of kinfolk in this room. I'm looking around. I got some black brothers and sisters. I got some brown brothers and sisters. This is a big family. We're all of one blood, filled with the same Holy Ghost. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give them a high five, and say, I'm glad to be here with you. Amen. I want to preach to some young people, and I hope tonight this gets in you and affects you for the rest of your life. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're special whether you knew it or not. Amen. I love the Word of God. How many love the Word of God? A real educated man by the name of William Lyon Phelps, who was a professor at Yale University, said this about the Bible. He said, I believe that knowledge of the Bible without a college education is more valuable than a college education without the Bible. Did you get that? I love education. I'm for everything we do to improve. And I know this church celebrates it because I've been here when y'all get honor roll and graduate. That y'all party every service. I've been here when y'all do that. But let me tell you something. While you're getting all that other stuff, make sure you get the Word of God in your life. Your best friend is Jesus Christ, but His book will be with you just like He is. Fall in love with the Word of God. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind, everybody shout a kind. A kind of first fruits of His creatures. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's up, Special K? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now, harder than you have all night. Come on, clap like He's doing miracles. Clap like people are getting baptized. Clap like people are getting the Holy Ghost. Clap like something good's going to happen for you tonight. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. James began by saying, don't err. Don't err. And then he seems to jump into, just to a casual observer, a disconnected phrase and discussion. And he says, every good thing and every perfect thing comes down, then he says this strange thing, from the Father of lights. He went on to say that of His own will He beget us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So just to put this in your mind, this isn't some deep theological title tonight, but just look at your neighbor and say, what's up, Special K? And if that becomes your new mantra when you see a brother or sister that's full of the Holy Ghost, just look at them and say, what's up, Special K? Because when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and when you were baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, you became something different than anybody else on planet Earth. I know you may put your pants on the same way and put your blouse on the same way and go to the same school and work at the same job and stop by the same restaurant, but inside of you is something different than anybody else. You're not like anybody else in your town, on your street, in your school. You are a special creature. You're a special kind. What's up, Special K? And when they say what's up, look at them, say every good thing and every perfect thing's working in me because I've got Jesus Christ on the inside. Amen. He said we have been begotten, or He begat us. That means He bred us. There was a special breeding that took place by the word of God. We are His creatures. Or that word in the original indicates a product. We are a special product that He has bred. A special kind of first fruits that has never been here before. Now, this may get a little schoolish if that's okay for just a moment, because I want you on the same page, because it'll make more sense if you understand what James is talking about here. He introduces into a theological discussion a term that's unfamiliar to us in our modern vernacular, but in that day and time, it was understood. He called this thing that's happening, he said, every good thing and every perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights. Would you say the Father of lights? He is pulling from the knowledge of His time. He is pulling from the scientific understanding of that day that had to do with the sun. The sun for them, and even for us today, all of our natural light comes from our source of light and heat and living, the sun. And in that time of James writing and preaching, he is using a type. He is using an example, if you will. It's show and tell. And he's bringing to their understanding that everything you have comes from God. He's using the idea that every light you have on this earth, the natural light you have, comes from the source, the pater, the source, or the father of light. The fountain of light for the earth is the sun. But here is the idea. It will begin to make this passage come alive when you come with this understanding. Notice what happens in our natural world with the source of light, the sun. The sun is always shining. The sun, we say, rises and sets. And we're not worried that tomorrow the sun's going to come up. And we're not worried this afternoon that the sun would go down. We have full confidence in the sun. Amen? The sun is the source or the pater of light for our earth. But there are things that happen when between us and our source, something comes between us. Science calls it eclipses. The power and radiance of the sun does not cease. It has not lost any resilience. It has not lost any power. It has not lost any heat. It has not lost any ability. The only problem is from our vantage point, we have allowed or something has come between us and the source. And so the brightness and the radiance becomes darkened by what comes between us and the source. But James wants us to understand that every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights. There is no diminishing of his power. There is no diminishing of his radiance. There is no weakening of his power to reach and help and save and deliver. But sometimes we allow some things to get between us and our source. Now it begins to make a little more sense. He says, and in him is no shadow of turning. Now, with this understanding, get with me here for a little bit, because here's the example he's using of a sun and an earth and eclipses and things coming between. And he says, in him is no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. Think about our solar system, students. Think about what you learned in school. We are on this ball called Earth. We know that the sun really didn't rise this morning and it really didn't set. If it's still where it was, then why are we in darkness tonight? Because we turned. The sun is right in the exact place it was when we turned away from it. The problem in our darkness in living for God is no problem with God. In him is no shadow of turning. In him is no variables. But the problem is we turn away from him. And when you turn away, darkness comes in your life. Can I preach to some young people? Why don't we learn it from the very beginning of our relationship as young people? I gotta keep my eyes on Jesus, because every good thing, every perfect thing cometh down from him. As long as I am in tune with him, as long as I'm focusing on him, the good things, the blessed things, the beneficial things are coming my way. But the problem comes when I turn. Or I allow things to come between me and him. In winter, sun seems to decline to the southern tropic and the days are shortened. It has to do because of the earth is tilted. And let's just be honest. How many of the problems and dark things in our life come from our turning and tilting? it that we begin to question our faith, and we begin to question doctrine, and we begin to question all of the things that were handed to us. But if we'll really be honest with us, it's because we turned away from Him. In Him is no shadow. In Him is no turning. He's not revolving away from you. Our problem is when we turn away from Him. The issues are with us. Look at your neighbor and say, it's with you, dude. The brightness of His glory never stops radiating forth. There has never been one day that His power was not accessible. You say, well, it's feeling kind of dead tonight. You ever been in one of those dead services? Is it because God was somehow weakened? Was it because the preacher didn't preach good? Was it because the choir didn't sing good? Was it because God's power was just, it was kind of a slow winter time? No. There has never been one night where the power of God was not available. The problem is sometimes we come into His presence with little faith and little attention and little energy, and we are rotated and tilted away from Him. But I wish somebody tonight would make up your mind. I'm zeroing back in the right orbit. I'm focusing my attention, my concentration. I'm going to get every good thing and perfect thing from Him tonight. We allow things to get between us and Him. Now it makes more sense. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Now, none of us would ever claim to be an idolater, but we allow a lot of things to get between us and Him. We call it business. We call it job. We call it school. We call it friends. But God calls it idols. Anything you allow to get between you and your worship to Jesus Christ, it could be your pride, it could be your attitude, it could be disappointment, it could be shame, it could be sorrow. You got to get that out of the way and get your attention back on Jesus Christ. The only help you're going to get is from the Father of lights. And for that reason, James starts off in our text and he says, don't err. That word means roam. Don't roam. He's bringing this whole idea of the orbits and the planets floating around and revolving around the sun. And he's saying, don't roam. Stay in your proper order. Because you are in alignment as a believer, what Christ has done in you, filled with the Holy Ghost, young person. Don't look to all of the things that want to get between you and your source. Don't roam. There are going to be, hear me today, it doesn't matter how much you talk in tongues and how many aisles you run, the moment you walk out of those doors, there will be temptations that come your way. There will be friends, there will be family, there will be situations that rear their head and come between you and God. What you've got to do is maintain your orbit. You've got to keep your focus. You've got to keep your direction. And hear James as he says, do not err, do not roam. Make up your mind. I am living for God every single day of my life. I'm not wondering. I'm not going to be tempted. I'm not going to give in. I'm not walking away. I'm staying right where I need to be. You know what I wonder? I wonder what kind of church we would really have if every young person in the church had a made up mind, I ain't leaving. I'm not going anywhere. Well, Brother Young, that'll never happen. Well, thank God it don't have to be that way to have a move of God. Jesus Himself, you may be seated, Jesus Himself, I mean, God in the flesh spoke to 500 people and said, go to Jerusalem and wait. And 380 left. I mean, I guess we're doing pretty good, Brother Sutton. I mean, God Himself spoke to 500, 380 didn't listen. So if you think I'm worried tonight about the 25 or the 35 that aren't in this thing, let me tell you something. All we need is about 24%. 120 out of 500 is about 24%. If I got 24% of young people in this room that make up their mind, we can have a Book of Acts 2 revival. We shake this place. We can shake our city. We can shake our school. Do I have some young people that'll get up on your feet and begin to praise God and say, I ain't going nowhere? He began by talking about divers' temptation. This wasn't scuba diving school. That just means a bunch of them. Diverse. There's going to be all kinds of temptation. There's going to be things that happen in your school, on your job, with your friends, and even with family, even in the house of God. But James is shouting to us, don't roam. Don't lose your orbit. Don't lose your place in this holy constellation. Stay in your proper positioning. And if you will stay there, there is a source that is coming your way. There are benefits coming your way. There are blessings coming your way. Complete beneficial provision will come from your source. Can I just tell you, young people that are in the throes of life and graduating and college and starting careers and looking to the future, make up your mind that no matter what I do or no matter what I become, God is my source. You know how radical I feel about this? I don't believe we're first businessmen. I don't think we're first carpenters and laundry workers. I think, first of all, we're God's people. And therefore, my job simply is this: the tools that God has given me to expand the kingdom. So I even look at my education differently. I'm not going to school to get a job, to make more money, to have more stuff. I'm going to school to be a better person, to do more for the kingdom of God and bless the kingdom. And remember, that's the guarantee for blessing. Because every good and perfect thing cometh down from the... I wish I had half a church that believed what I'm preaching right now. If you'll make up your mind, young person, I'm going to live for God all the days of my life. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to live for Him. No matter what I go through, no matter what I face, God is my source. In Him is no turning. He's not rotating away from you. It doesn't matter how dark the night seems. God is not turning away from you. That word in the original, variableness. He's dead and gone, but Elder Treese used to preach about that. And the word was parallax. I need some help. I need you three young men right here. Right here. Okay, you two guys in the suits, come up here. And you just stand right there a minute, brother. I want you to stand right here. And I want you to come stand right here. This is the description of the word variableness. Here is our observer. Come here, what's your name, buddy? Zach, come here, Zach. Now here at his vantage point, he's looking here or he's looking there. And here is something in my life or something in the view. And so what happens if he's at this vantage point, what happens is I am blocking him, correct? But if he changes and comes over here, walk over here, he never moved. But by changing his perspective, the view changed. Now, from this vantage point, I'm blocking him. But if he changes, his view is uninhibited. That is the understanding of the term parallax, which is the original word variableness. And James is wanting you to know, in God, there is no parallax. Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, he's always wide open. When the moment you determine, I'm looking for Jesus, the moment you turn back, it doesn't matter if you're in the gutter or if you're in a bar room or you're at school or you're in a church house, there is no parallax. There is no obstacle. When you turn your eyes to Him, every good thing begins to flow. Every blessing begins to flow. Turn yourself, turn your soul, turn your life to the Father of lights. don't know my family situation. In him is no variableness. I'm not like the guy across the aisle. He had every opportunity. I come from a broken home. In him is no variableness. You're letting stuff get between you and him, but if you look past that, there will be no obstacle. I don't care if you don't know who your mom and dad is. I don't care if you come from the riches or the poor. The moment you turn your eye to him, suddenly the source begins to come your way. And blessing begins to flow. And favor begins to flow. Make up your mind. I'm turning to Jesus. You may be here today like that young man that got baptized. He didn't care that it was song service. He didn't care that it wasn't according to protocol. Let me tell you what protocol. Turn your eyes to Jesus. It don't matter when it is or where it is. God has blessing for you. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. You may be seated. So how then do I keep from roaming? Or how do I keep from becoming a wandering planet in God's divine solar system? He gives us the keys in verse number 18. He said, of his own will. Everybody shout, God's will. That's how you know if you're in alignment or not. Are you doing your will or his will? Are you trying to be something because of somebody else? Are you being influenced by the tempters around you? Or is your life as a young person desiring the will of God? In all of your career planning, you that are, any seniors in high school here, let me see, any seniors this year, wave your hand, be proud. Come on, class of 2012. All right. How many's in college? Let me see your hand. How many's in high school? In all of your dreaming, picking colleges, picking careers, picking future, and looking for dates, and looking for husbands, and looking for wives, in all of that, can I shake you and remind you that you're a special K? You're not like everybody else looking for college. You're not like everybody else in the dating game. You're not like everybody else going through life trying to figure out where you're going. What you have access to is a father of lights. If you will begin to seek the will of God for your career, for your education, for your love, if you will seek first the kingdom of God, let blessing come your way. That's how you don't err. That's how you don't lose your way. Find the will of God. I'm afraid we haven't preached this enough to apostolic young people. We just kind of figure, they'll just figure it out. But I've watched too many walk away from God. I've seen too many turn into wandering asteroids that collide and fall apart and fall to the earth and burn up in just a few moments. I've seen too many apostolic young people walk away. And what I'm challenging this Alabama Youth Conference this week is I want you to find the will of God for your life, because your source is the source of blessing and faith. Clap your hands to the Lord right now. He beget us with a word, the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You're not just here tonight to fill a seat at a youth conference. No man comes to the Father except he's led by the Spirit. Whether you have the Holy Ghost or whether you've had it for a while, none of us are here on accident. And God wanted you to hear someone remind you to focus back on him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Spirit has led you to this building tonight, to this service, to see this worship, but see young people giving themselves to something besides all of the seducing spirits of this age, and suddenly find something that has value and life-sustaining force inside of them. God wants you to be a participant and a partaker of those divine blessings. It's his desire to make every one of us here tonight a special kind, something unique, something different. We are, the literal language here is that we are the breeded production. We are the special, spiritually, the spiritual science, if you will. We are the breeding of divinity. That we should become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Unique. His personal designed product. I've in my life had a few horses. I like horses. And I've had good horses. I've had insane horses. I've had to put horses down. And I've dumped some at horse auctions. But in the process of having horses, I learned a little bit about breeding. And one of the leading horses, gated horses, is the Hanoverian brand, which is the most often used in the Olympic dressage events. And it is the most successful warm-blooded of all horse breeds. And I was reading something the other day as I was studying this idea of special breeding, and some of you probably know things about horses or dogs or cats or breed special turtles or something. I don't know what all people breed. Hamsters. I don't know. Squirrels. All right. I read this. I got a new example for my sermon tonight. Squirrel breeders. Today, I quote, the Hanoverian Breeders Association offers more incentives to breed the best. In addition, few breeds have such well-kept records, allowing the breeders to trace bloodlines over many generations, improving their chances to find the best stallion mare match. The current aim of the breeders today is to create a noble, versatile, warm blood with light, elastic, and ground-covering gaits. And so they go into all, they bring in scientists and they study and they find the best bloodlines through history. And they try to pair the mare and stallion together to get it all just right to produce this trophy award winning horse. And so if you come from such and such and this horse that won the Preakness in 1902 and on and on, these horse breeds and dog breeds and squirrel breeds and that's what God has done with us. He has created in His heavenly divine science lab. He has created His own special K. He has birthed by His Spirit. And as I was reading, this excited me. This is from the Hanoverian Breeders Association. I quote, whenever necessary, outside blood is brought in to improve the horse. You see, this young man, I don't know who it was. I never seen him before. He came and got baptized. I don't know if he's received the Holy Ghost or not. Is there anybody here who's been baptized in Jesus' name and received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking another tongue? Let me tell you what just happened. Just like the Hanoverian Horse Breeding Association, the Holy Ghost has bred into you through the name and His blood. Outside heavenly blood has been put into you to make you this special K. You're not like anybody else. Inside you is a living God. You are the joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have power. You have authority. You have uniqueness over everything else. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's up, Special K? You need to start acting like you're special. We got too many intimidated apostolic young people. I preached to our church not long ago about proper response. You know what I told them? I told our young people, I preached that a meeting for Brother Shane, Alabama, Brother Shane Golden. Preached for him and Brother White week before last. And And it was kind of tight. It was one of those kind of, it was a youth service. And it was kind of tight. And I got on the organ. And I went, what? And they just looked at me. So I stopped and I said, let me explain something to you. Proper response for Pentecostal young people when you get to church is from the first note you move. I said, we'll try that again. Whoa. And something started buzzing. Something started moving. You see, we got too many young people that are intimidated to worship. They're too cool. They're too hip. No! When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're a special breed, baby. You're a special K. You were born to dance. You were born to shout. You were born to worship. Start living like a special K. You know what ought to be your favorite cereal? Special K. You ought to go to Walmart tonight and buy every one of them and just walk through school next week giving out Special K and say, this is my company. Every time you see a Special K box, you ought to just start shouting right in the grocery store. Say, I'm a Special K. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Any military men here, women here? Ex-military men, women, in. I've never been in the military, but I got friends and family, and boy, I don't know all the stuff. But what does it Marines say? Booyah! What is it? Man, I didn't know there were so many Marines here. Boy, they get together, Semper Fi. And the Navy's got their thing, and the Army's got their thing. It's an identity. And when they're hollering, boo, what is it? Boo-rah. Boo-rah. Hoorah. Yeah. Hoorah. Moorah. Do-rah. They know, but they don't care whether I know or not. When they get together, they growl, they grunt. We ought to get that same mentality as apostolics. When we get together, yeah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! We're a special K. We're not like everybody else. We don't care what you think about us. We don't care how you look at how we dress. We don't care what you think about how we act. We don't care. We're special. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We've been set free. Come on, somebody special, get up on your feet right now and shout to God. Now, I'm not a Marine, but can you imagine, sit down, can you imagine there being 21 Marines gathered around a tailgate party or a barbecue pit or in Pizza Hut, wherever it is. And they're all standing around or sitting around talking. And one of them says, what is it again? Hoorah. Hoorah. Let's try it one more time. Hoorah. Can you imagine if they said, on three, let's say hoorah. And they went, one, two, three. Hoorah. And can you imagine if 20 of them went, hoorah! And one of them suckers is embarrassed to be in Pizza Hut going, not here. I mean, people may look at us funny. I mean not everybody's a Marine. What do you think them other 20 would be doing? They'd be hoorahing all over him, wouldn't they? That's what we ought to get when it comes to apostolic worship. The guy that won't worship, we ought to be looking at and say, what's wrong with you, dude? I thought you were Special K. Then start acting like it. Get a hoorah in your spirit. Get a hallelujah in your mouth. You've been born from above. Don't you be intimidated by who you are. Don't you be ashamed to be apostolic. Don't you be ashamed of God's preaching. Don't you be afraid of apostolic worship. Hoorah! Man, I feel good up here tonight. He said, don't err. You may be seated. Don't roam. Can I have 5 more minutes? He said, lay apart. You want to keep from erring? You want to keep from getting out of orbit? You want to keep from losing your way in this dark solar system of life? He said, don't err. Don't roam then. And the way you do it is you obey the will of God. You seek the will of God. You keep your attention on Him. You're a special kind. You're a special planetary device or thing in this divine constellation. He said, don't roam. And in verse 21, he said, lay apart all. Everybody shout all. All filthiness. And for all of you sanctified folks that say, well, I'm not filthy. He said, and all naughtiness. Because even the best of us got a little naughty streak in it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just in us to be naughty. You don't have to teach your kid to lie. Nobody taught you how to look at your mom and go, no. I mean, you could be the cutest thing and the whole church board and the deacons and the pastor could have walked by and said, oh, you the cutest little thing. And the pastor walks off and that little 2-year-old looks at mom and goes, no. You know why? Because just like this earth, we're tilted. We're bent. Oh, it's in you. You know how I know? Because I got 2 teenagers. Why is it that when it's time for school, ...7:30 seems so early? And you got to pour ice water over their head to get them out of bed. But if you're going fishing on Saturday morning, you're hopping out of bed at 6:30. Or your friends are going to Atlanta to go shopping, you'll wake up at 5:30 to go meet your friend. And you stayed up till 3 in the morning talking about it, and you wake up and you, hey, you know why? Because when it comes to responsibility and things that matter, we're tilted. We're naughty. We got stuff in us that don't want to do right, and we don't want to take responsibility. And in the spirit, it's the same thing. We may not be filthy, and we can look and say, thank God I'm not like her, but we overlooked that little naughtiness in us. That little naughtiness in you will get you out of order. He said, if you want to make sure to not lose provision of blessing and favor, so you're not roaming around, he said, lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness and receive the implanted word of God, the engrafted word of God. In other words, what he's saying is take, every time your preacher gets up, you need to take that and just start sucking it down. You see, I love to shout. I love to worship. I didn't do much of it tonight because my knee's hurting. I got knee surgery in about 3 weeks. But as soon as it gets better, I'm going to shout more than you all. But I want to tell you something. The most important man in your life is your pastor. Because when your pastor steps behind the pulpit, he is preaching the word of God. He is giving you the answers of salvation. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God chose to save the world. You're not going to be saved without a preacher. You need every man of God that preaches to you. You need the pastor. You need the apostle. You need the prophet. You need the evangelist. You need the teacher. When you come into the house of God, do whatever you can to engraft that word into you. Because the word of God is what keeps you from losing your way. Faith cometh by, and hearing by, not by Kirk Franklin's latest CD. Not even by Miles Young's latest CD. I got a new one coming out in about a month. You need to buy it. But after GP, Are You With Me's off, and after Miles Young's groove's turned down, you need to get your nose back into that pulpit and say, preacher, preach to me, because a song can take me off, but I need the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I need the word of God to keep me in connection with my source. Could we raise up a generation in 2012? My God, this gets on me. I wish there would be a generation that rises up to believe in the word of God like no other generation. Brother Sutton, if we started counting, how many people did I grow up with that don't even live for God now? And everybody about my age can probably point back between the last 20 years or so at how many have walked away. What would happen if your generation set a new high watermark? You know, this they call us the postmodern. This new generation where they're testing everything and they're looking at everything and they're looking at all the faults of society and look at all the issues of politics. And so they're trying to find causes. Let me tell you what cause you're looking for. You're looking for the Jesus cause. What would happen if every young person in here locked into Jesus and became a Jesus freak, became a Jesus fanatic, became a wild young man or wild young woman for Jesus, got a cause to live for, willing to die for it, willing to give up everything? What would happen if we got radical for Jesus? Everybody wants to sing about it. Everybody wants to talk about it. But when's anybody going to do it? Is there a generation that'll rise up in 2012 and say, this is my hour? I was called to the kingdom. I'm special. I've been called. I'm a special K. I've been bred for this. Bred for this. Don't you be intimidated by this crazy world. You were bred for this. You were made to handle everything. Why did God bring you around in 2012 and not 1912? I understand. I've heard it. Yeah, you young people, you just don't know how to overcome. Every generation's had their trouble. I understand that. But I also know the Bible says that in the last days, wickedness shall increase. You're living in a more wicked world than has ever been, and it's going to get worse. But that ought to tell you something about how much faith God's got in you. Because Paul ain't here, Peter ain't here, you're here. I'm here. So why don't we start living up to our breeding? Why don't we rise up and say, you know what? I was born for this. I was born to be an overcomer. I'm special. I've been bred for this. This is my day. Musicians, come. He said, don't just hear the word. This is all in that same text. This is all in this space talk here. He starts off by saying, don't err. He goes through this whole process. Every good thing's coming down from the Father lights. There's no parallax in him. When you turn to him, you're going to get his radiance. You're going to get his blessing. And he says, you need to take that engrafted word so you don't roam around like a wandering star. But then he says, don't be like those that hear the word, that came to youth conference on Friday night 2012 in Birmingham, that just heard the word but didn't do anything about it. this is how he described it, because he evidently was preaching to young people. He knows young people need examples. Y'all can be seated while they're getting the mood music going. I call that gravy. I'm from Louisiana. Everything needs gravy on it. I mean, I could eat an armadillo if it had enough gravy on it. He said, everybody that hears the word but don't do it is like the cat. This is the Miles Young inspired version. That goes to the mirror. Okay, let's just kind of act this out. Because I don't want you to forget this, Special K. Look at the neighbor and say, what's up, Special K? Now imagine you're 27, young man, 27 years old. You got on your designer suit. You got a job at the big skyscraper downtown, big firm. And you've been in the process of working toward promotion, and you got an opportunity. They're allowing you to make the presentation at 10 o'clock this morning. And you get your suit on, you make sure your hair is combed, and make sure your teeth are clean. No pepper from your eggs is between your teeth, you know. And getting all that together. And you're walking out the door, you're married, and you and your wife, you're 27 years old, and this is your big time. If you get this promotion, you're on a fast track. You could wind up being the CEO of this Fortune 500 company. And so you got it together, and so you got it all together. You're walking out the door, you grab your briefcase, and your wife says, honey, don't forget such and such on your way home. Pick up something. Okay, baby. And you're walking out the door, and as you go through your apartment, have to go through the kitchen because the kitchen's by the front door. And as you pass by, you look. And there, because your wife has known this is going to be a big day for you. And if you do good, you're going to get this promotion. And you're going to get to move out of the little apartment. And you're going to get a big house in the suburbs. And boy, everything you've wanted. And so she wants you to leave in the best time. And feel the best. And so she made your favorite chocolate. And that's what you've been smelling while you was getting ready. And as you walk by the kitchen, there on the table, the icing is kind of drooping a little bit because the cake's still warm. I feel an anointing moving in here right now. And you know about warm cakes and cold icing. It starts melting and running a little bit. And something about fresh cake and soft icing. And it's like a magnetic pull pulls you away from your orbit. And she's not looking. So you get a knife. Man, I'm feeling this right now. I feel a cake-eating spirit getting up on me right now. And you slice a little thin spot. You pull it out. Then you run out, not thinking that she's going to notice, but she knows you. She peeks her head around the corner. She said, I caught you. You being naughty. And you go, oh, baby, it's so good. Okay, I'm off. And she says, what? You got chocolate sauce running down your chin. I do. And as you walk out the foyer to the front door, you got that mirror to fake everybody out like your foyer's bigger. You know, that's why people put mirrors there to make it all look bigger. And you look in the mirror, and sure enough, you missed. And you got chocolate sauce about to drop down on your freshly starched white shirt. And you're about to go make the biggest presentation of your life. And your wife says, you got something. But James said, everybody that comes to youth conference or comes to church, that hears the preacher, but don't do nothing about it, is like the guy that goes and stands in front of the mirror and goes, oh, I got chocolate sauce all over my face. Okay, babe, I'm going to work. And James said, that's just the way you are. You come hear the word. The The Word of God is like looking into a glass, like looking into a mirror. And he said, you look in the mirror and you hear the Word of God tell you what to do, but then you don't do nothing about it. He said, you're just like the guy that don't wipe his face off. I've come to tell you, Special K, there's promotion, there's blessing, but you got to look into the mirror and you got to start making some changes. You got to start cleaning some stuff off. You got to make your way right. Remove all filthiness. Remove all naughtiness. Anybody ever heard of Oliver Sacks? Anybody? Oliver Sacks is a neurologist and professor of psychiatry at Columbia University, or was he? I don't know if he still is. You can be seated or stand up or dance or roll or whatever. I don't care. I'm through preaching now. I'm just having fun. Oliver Sacks, smart cat, man. He's weird. I've heard him speak. I've read his book. In fact, the first book I read by him, this will tell you about it. The name of his first book is called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. True story. And his books are about case studies of his years as a psychiatrist investigating and studying people that had mental disorders, everything from amnesia to strange things and weird things to which they had no answer. And in his book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, he tells the story about some people contacted him and said, we need to set up an appointment for, I don't remember if it was my husband or my dad or somebody. We have this family member that's got a problem. So Dr. Sacks said, what's the problem? I said, well, it's kind of strange is that he leans. He said, what do you mean he leans? He said, well, wherever he goes, he leans. And he said, so does he have back problems? He said, no, it's nothing like that. We think it's something else because we ask him when we started noticing it, why are you leaning? Is your back hurt? Is your back out? And he said, I'm not leaning. He said, yeah, you are. No, I'm not. And they said, this is a true story. Read it for yourself. They said, the strange thing is, when he goes in front of a mirror, he's walking. We took him over to the mirror. And when he turned and looked at the mirror, he went like this. I'm not leaning. Told you, there's nothing wrong with me. Dad, come back. What? I told you there's nothing. Look, there's nothing wrong with me. So he said, well, I'll interview him. So they brought him in. How you doing? I'm Oliver Sacks. Well, I'm so-and-so. So how's everything going? Good. Any back problems? No. Yeah, my family, they're nuts. They say I have this leaning problem. So you know what Dr. Sacks' solution was? He said, let's get a video camera. So they had him just walk. So he goes walking, and they videotaped him, and they put the video on and said, he goes, oh my goodness, I am leaning. For some strange reason, when he saw himself, he straightened up. But when he walked away, he didn't realize he was tilted. So Dr. Sacks, the way he retrained this guy, is he hung little fishing weights. The guy wore glasses. So he hung little weights. And so when the guy sees leaning, I guess the weights were hitting him in the face. He'd straighten up. But that's a humorous example that I close with. That's what we do. We go all through week with all our high school buddies and all our job and all our naughtiness and all our filthiness. And then we come to the house of God and go, I want it all back. Everything, yeah, I want it all back. I want all my junk back too. Wednesday night Bible study. Hey, how you doing, Pastor? Good to see you. Oh, youth pastor, how you doing? Hey, God bless you. And then walk right back out. What we need is the Word of God before us every day. Fall. fall in love. That's what I started with, I'm finishing with. We need the Word of God to tell us how to live, to straighten us up when we're tilted, when we're bent. I want to be an apostolic like I'm supposed to be. I want to get rid of all the naughtiness. I want to get rid of all the filthiness. I want to be in alignment with Him. I want my life to count. So is there a young person? Now, don't everybody just come. We're not going to do the herding cow stuff, okay? We got ranchers back there. Amen. Cowboys from way back. Brother Elder Wells told me one time, he was making fun of all my horses. He said, you shouldn't have anything you can't eat your way out of. Tonight I'm not looking for just the crowders. I'm looking for some special case. I'm looking for some ones that want to turn your city, your family, your school upside down. That where you're ready to say, you know what? I may have come here a little bit tilted, and I may have been turned a little bit away, but right now I'm getting back in orbit. And God, whatever you got to do to show me how to straighten up and get this thing flowing so benefit and blessings come. Is there some special PK young people that will get out of that seat and get down here and throw your hands in the air and say, God, I want you to work on me. I want to leave here empowered. I want to leave here in favor. I want to leave here blessed. As they begin to sing, why not make this a commitment service right now? Make up your mind wherever. Come on, Coleman. Come on, Gadsden. Come on, Birmingham. Wherever. Come on, Greenville. Wherever you are. Come on. I need some special K young people to make up your mind. Worshiping. I want you to lift your hands and close your eyes and begin to ask God to empower you. Don't dance past commitment. I want you to commit yourself to God right now. I want you to tell God some things.